The Trend Reporter is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, I'm journalist and beauty obsessive Mara Esquivel-Campo. Today on The Trend Reporter, a real beauty innovation, the world's first ever plant-based synthetic hair. Why the creator of Rebundle decided she could no longer use traditional braiding hair after finding out what it's made of.
It's a combination of compounds that make for a disastrous product that's on your head.
You will never believe the plant-based alternative she came up with, which she says is chemical-free and better for your health and the environment.
The user immediately fell in love with it.
Everything you want to know about the hair trends worth knowing. Hey guys. So it's not often that we see a true innovation in the beauty space, a true innovation, but today we're talking about just that. Ciara Imani May is the founder of Rebundle, the world's first plant-based synthetic hair company. Let's back up a little bit and tell me why you felt the need to create a plant-based hair alternative. What's wrong with what's on the market right now?
Almost 2 years ago, I had a very short fade and I was growing it back out because I was tired of wearing it in that fade. And I was wearing braids back to back and my scalp was so inflamed from the braiding hair. And I had had some reactions in the past, some itching that I was kind of used to, but I'd never worn my hair braided back to back like that, to where it was almost in a constant pain, a state of pain. And I was like, all right, I need to figure out a solution because I didn't want to wear my hair out. I didn't want to wear a wig. And so it made me feel like I didn't have any other alternatives. So I was like, well, let me just figure out why this braiding hair is causing my scalp to itch. And when I started to do that research, there are a ton of YouTube videos and articles detailing like how you should wash the hair in apple cider vinegar, or like what brands are more prone to cause irritation. But nothing was like, your scalp itches because this. And I was like, why is it not available? All these people are having these experiences and we're talking around the problem. We're talking around the true reason. So then I found this article that was like, synthetic hair is made out of this type of plastic. And at that time, I was also learning a lot about sustainability and trying to minimize my waste. So when I read that, even though like subconsciously I knew that synthetic hair is made out of plastic, I hadn't really thought about that impact until I had that in the back of my mind because I was trying to figure out how to not use plastic. So then I was like, okay, so it's made out of plastic and it's made out of a bad plastic, according to this article. So I wonder if my scalp is irritated because this plastic is not good for me. And so then it became, well, if this plastic's not good for me, it's probably not good for the environment either. So how do I solve for both of those at the same time? And then it became a hunt for a better material.
So, you know, we've had lots of hair folks on here. We love to talk about hair. And one of the guests that we've had on a couple of times is Whitney Eady. She goes by Her Growing Hands and she runs a company called Juices and Botanics. So Whitney's focus is on healthy hair growth. And we talked about synthetic hair and she compared it to braiding glass into your hair.
The material is really chemically compounded acrylic. So like when you think of getting your nails done and you add acrylic and what happens to the actual base of your fingernail is similar to what happens to the cuticles of your hair after having it braided with the acrylic. A lot of people will come in and they can't figure out why their hair is thinning. They can't figure out why it's, you know, super dry. It's a little bit more frizzy and it feels more rough to the touch after having braids. And the reason is because the strands of your hair were intertwined with acrylic.
I think a lot of us who have had braids have had that experience of like, when you take your braids out, like your hair never really feels good. Like it at best, it feels kind of dry and abused, you know, and at worst, it's what you experience, which is, you know, scalp irritation and the like. So based on your research, what did you find is actually like, what is that synthetic hair made of?
Yeah, so it's actually made of a combination of things, but most brands use polyvinyl chloride, otherwise known as PVC. And in the plastics industry, that's known as poison plastic. And the reason for that is because it has chloride in it. Chloride's not good for your body and it's not good for the environment either. So when you put those chemicals onto your scalp and on your body, you know, they're hanging on you, You can only reasonably assume that your body is now absorbing those chemicals because your scalp breathes. In addition to that, there are other additives in it, like we found animal meat fat that's used. We don't even know why it's there. It's a combination of compounds that make for a disastrous product that's on your head. And it varies by brand. Some brands don't use PVC, but they have other additives that raise questions about its toxicity. So when I started to get deep into the research and getting closer to that reason why, we found that there's really no one reason. Your body may react to one thing differently than another, which is why some people don't necessarily experience any itching. But others go as far as like losing hair, or they have really big flakes, or their scalp is red. They get bumps. I remember when I was in high school, I had Senegalese twists and my face was broke out. So, you know, it just depends on you and it depends on what's in that particular brand. It could even come down to that particular color, which we just found yesterday. Some colors are made of different types of plastic when we thought one brand was just made out of one type of plastic. And it's like, it's kind of all over the place. It's a gamble when you get your hair braided.
So then the alternative, of course, is human hair, which is incredibly expensive. And you have to buy so much to do one head of braids. You need like those 8 packs, you know, it's like an armful of the bundles. And that equivalent in human hair, it costs a fortune. It's like the amount that you spend on a weave, right? It's hundreds of dollars. So I understand why people prefer the synthetic hair, because then, you know, it's affordable and then you just throw it away when you're done with it. But you wanted to come up with a better alternative that was not like ridiculously expensive, like the Bentley of hair. How did you come up with the product that you came up with?
Yeah, so I was looking to improve the plastic when I first started. I was like, well, there's got to be like a good plastic out there, right? Like, how do we just make it better? But I couldn't penetrate that supply chain because the industry is so guarded. And there wasn't enough good information out there for me to discern that what I would provide was actually healthy. And so I was just kind of burned out on, you know, talking to all these suppliers about, you know, why is your plastic synthetic hair safe? Is it PVC free? What toxins does it not have in it? Have you performed any tests? Not getting those answers. So I was like, okay, what else can it be made out of? And I think I was like scrolling on Twitter and came across this plant-based council. And I was like, I wonder if it can be made out of plants. And if so, what kind of plant? So the research just started like, what kind of plants have fibers that are long and continuous that could mirror hair? So more research on like, where are these types of plants grown? What type of plants are these? What's already out there? What's available? And then we tried a variety of fibers and all of them had good qualities, but we were looking for like, what are people most accustomed to? And like, what are your non-negotiables for a hair product? And banana fiber really stood out because it's you can get it in many lengths. We can get it even longer than the 28 we sell it in.
Yes, girl, because you know, we need our inches. We need those inches.
We can get it even longer. It's durable. The color is almost neutral, so we can dye it how we want. It doesn't have like a strong odor that we can't get rid of. It's a thick fiber, so it is thicker than the plastic strands that are extruded. So that comes with its own unique characteristics. It holds shape, which is, you know, unique. Sometimes if you get your hair braided and you take it down, it goes back straight. You can curl it because it maintains that texture. So it just beat everything else out. And then we still have the others in R&D and we'll figure out ways that we can introduce them at a later time. But it just won.
So what were I'm just curious, what were some of the other plants that you tried that did not make the cut?
Yeah, so I won't share any of them because we'll introduce them at a later time, but they are in similar in quality, meaning they are long and fibrous. They have good luster. We can dye them in the same manner, but they need a little more work to make sure that they meet expectations.
Okay, so they need more love.
Yeah, they need more love.
Okay, so you settled on banana fiber. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean? Are we talking about actual bananas or something from the tree that they grow on?
It's from the tree. So banana trees grow really tall, and we're taking it from the stem.
From the stem of the tree. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? Is it like you're shredding it into hair-like fibers?
We work very closely with our supplier who's developed a process to extract the fibers naturally and maintain their properties. So they're cut and they are stripped, and then we get the strips. And everything we do with the strips then is to make it match our hair texture with the way it feels and the color and everything that we're used to seeing. Make sure the length is there, the right length. So that's what it's like a handoff. Like, you give me the bare fiber and we take it from there.
And so what colors is it available in?
So we've tested a few different colors. Sometimes we get we're surprised by the color that comes out because we're going for one type of brown and we get a much lighter brown. So we started with black, brown, and blonde, and we tested some other colors that turn out good, but we're still trying to make sure we get it consistently because sometimes it's it just comes out different than what we expected.
Right. I mean, because that's the thing with Black women's hair, it has to be right.
And we started with the three that we could get right. Yeah, we know we could consistently get these three colors, and we've had success with other colors, but making sure that, one, they're the colors that you want and that we can do them consistently.
Yeah. But the thing is, half the time you go to the beauty supply, they're like, oh, we're out of number six. Use number four. So we're mm-hmm. making those compromises anyway. Right. So what have you found in terms of how it performs? So how does it compare to the synthetic hair that we're used to?
Yeah. So a lot of the feedback that we've gotten from our test users is they are surprised at how it feels. We've only known one thing for all of our most of our lives. It could be some other people who know different, but for most of our lives, we've known one thing. And so it is kind of like a surprise, or you can be taken aback at how just it feels in your hand. But then the same user immediately fell in love with it when she started to braid her hair with it. It's because she loved the color. She loved the way it blended with her hair. She loved the way it felt in her hands. It didn't cut her fingers. And those are some of the properties that you may not necessarily think about when you're braiding, but when you're introduced to a new product, you're like, what is the experience that I'm about to have with something that I've never seen or heard of before? So the reception has been very positive. People are excited to, we're giving them free samples and they're like, I'm about to order more because I can't wait to do my next style or whatever the case may be. So it's validating to put something out there, and we've been giving it away, and that they're happy with it. And any feedback that they provide that we can improve, we immediately come up with a plan all right, this could be better. And how do we go about doing that?
So how do you care for your hair when it's been braided or styled using this plant-based hair? Do you have to do anything differently?
Yeah, so we have not, our test users have not told us they had to go an extra step or do anything different than what they're used to. If they regularly oil their scalps, then they continue to do that. And for those who don't, have not said, my scalp is drier and I've had to add additional oil. They're wrapping it up at night like normal. They are wearing it out like normal. So no, we don't have any additional care instructions other than what you're used to. When you open the package, of course, you need to be delicate. You need to undo the braid with your fingers or with a wide tooth comb. So all those things are pretty standard, but there's no major learning curve, which has been really positive.
Yeah. What's interesting with the hair, not the braiding hair, but hair, this kind of hair that we use in different styles, that's human hair. Well, I did a story on this years ago, and it's to this day, it's one of my favorite stories ever. A lot of it comes from India, from people who shave their head to donate it to, it's like a sacrifice to God. It's a spiritual process. So they do it at really important moments, like if there's a birth of a new child in the family, or they also do it to grieve if there's a death of a loved one. I met a girl who did it because she was coming up on her final exams and she wanted to perform well on her exam. So she shaved her head. So they go to the temples and they shave their head and they leave them as a sacrifice to God. And then the temples sell that hair, because it's some of the best hair in the world. Yeah. So it's so funny how that's this renewable resource you know, for this really high in demand product for the hair that we wear out. But mm-hmm. when it comes to braiding hair, there's no alternative for that.
Yeah. So when it comes to braiding hair, it's a huge industry. It's a $1 billion industry. But the questions are not being asked, or they're not being responded to if the questions are being asked.
And then when you take it out, can you reuse the hair, the rebundle hair?
Yeah. So we've had some wash it and try and reuse it. We haven't confirmed like how many times can be reused, just why we haven't published that on our site, but we know that it can be.
And what's your background? How do you look at a problem and say, I'm going to start a company and I'm going to fix this, and I'm going to do something that's never been done before, and I'm going to create plant-based hair? Where does that come from?
I've always had a very entrepreneurial spirit. And at that time when I was growing my hair out and getting into sustainability, I was looking for inspiration for a company to start. But I got my bachelor's in business administration with a minor in entrepreneurship. I left Missouri, moved to Los Angeles to get a master's in social entrepreneurship from USC. So I was like ingrained in the culture.
And here I was liking you.
See, here's the funny thing. I'm from Missouri. So before I moved to LA, like, I didn't know anything about the school except that's where they filmed Love and Basketball. Like, I didn't know anything about USC or the LA culture or any of the schools. So it was a pleasant surprise to get there. And it's like, you know, this is a prestigious school. I just had no idea. I just went because they had the program I wanted.
Right.
So I went and I gained a lot. I learned a lot about design thinking and how to build a social enterprise, how you measure your impact and like measuring what matters. So I'd had the education, and then I was looking for the application. So I left LA, joined Venture for America, which took me to Charlotte, where I was working at an HBCU when I started to think about rebundle. So it was only a matter of time before I found an idea that I fell in love with, and something that like just made sense to me from the moment that it came into my head. I was like, I can wrap my arms around this because like I'm a Black woman who wears braids, and I know Black women who wear braids. I know the Black women who install these braids. I know where the product is sold, and I know where there are areas for improvement because this is a lived experience for me. So it was really just a matter of time.
Yeah. And no, I feel like you get like knowing your space is so important. Like, you know, right. Because that's where you'll perform the best, because you understand the consumer and you understand the need. So I think that's really, really smart.
We have been so warmly received by the community. We are speaking our customers' language. We understand what it is that we want to see out of a hair extensions brand, and we're providing that.
And how much does it cost? Is the quantity in one pack of your hair the same as the quantity in one pack of the synthetic hair? Is it 1-to-1? Will you need the same amount?
So with plastic synthetic hair, the quantity ranges from about 2.5 to 3 ounces. We actually provide 3.5 ounces per bundle, which is more than what you get. And the reason is for that is because our price point is a little higher at $20. And we also want to make sure that you have enough to achieve the style that you want to do. So, you know, we strategically set that price point because we know that we're above what you're used to in plastic synthetic hair, but you also don't want to be too close to human hair because, you know, that's a separate category. So we think that at this price point, you're getting the value that you need to do the styles that you're used to.
But the comparable pack for the synthetic hair is about $3.
Yeah. So, it depends on where you are, but expressions can run up to $6-7, and then you have like spectrums, probably $3-4. So it really depends on the color, on the length, where you are, where you're buying it from.
Yeah. So this is, it's a significant price jump, but if it's better for your hair and better for the environment and just a better all solution, you feel that people are willing to pay that increase.
Yeah. Yeah. And none of our test users have experienced any irritation, any extreme itching, any rashes or anything like that. So at the root of it, that's what I was trying to solve. How do I provide a product that is better for my body, is not causing irritation? And we're able to do that with this product. So and that should be important because you don't want your body to absorbing toxins. So we're providing you an option that is toxic free.
Yeah. And I think people have demonstrated they're willing to pay a premium for things that are healthier for them and also better mm-hmm. for the environment. We just become right. kind of more responsible consumers. So I love that. All right. Well, I can't wait to check it out because I want to really do like some Janet Jackson, like poetic justice braids this summer. Like I've been thinking about that for a while. I'm like, this is the year.
Yes.
One of the big reasons I don't do braids is because it's so bad for your hair. Like there's the weight of the braids. That's a whole different mm-hmm. conversation. There's no way around that, which is like not great for your edges, but then also like the damage of the braiding hair. I'm like,
well, there
no,
is a way really... around that because our hair is lightweight. Our hair is light, is lighter.
Is it lighter?
Yeah. I mean, we package them in a larger bundle so that you have enough, but the hair, the fibers itself are lighter than plastic hair.
Okay, so that's important. That's good to know because that's a yeah. big thing for me. I had to work hard to get these edges. Every time I pull out a piece and it's like it's such measurable progress. When I tell you that my edges used to be like here, like this, like not even enough to like, I mean, it was a disaster after I had my mm-hmm. son. So like I value my edges because I had to work hard to get them back.
Yeah, of course. So you should.
I protect them. So it's very good to know that your hair is lighter, that it will not do yeah, such a number on my edges. I appreciate
yeah, it's
that.
Comfortable. It's lightweight. We're not going to be weighing your head down. Because PVC is heavy anyway. Like it's a dense plastic. So imagine that weight on, you know, your fine edges.
Is it the same when you say PVC? Like I know PVC pipe that people use in plumbing. Is it the same?
It is the same.
Wow.
It's the same type of plastics, the same resin.
That's so interesting. Wow. Yeah. I don't think people realize exactly what's in that braiding hair. We just know it's cheap and it's accessible and it's the way things were always done.
I mean, how could you know? It's not like the company says, hey, we use PVC, which is something I learned from research. So I'm asking the companies, is your hair made out of PVC? And they're like, yes, it is. But they are not upfront with that information because they know the impact that it has. So it's really disheartening that it has taken this kind of reverse engineering to even get that type of information about what it's made out of to say like, this is the equivalent of the pipe that's under your sink.
Right. Right. And I also have to wonder if there's a little like social component there, like would they be so careless with products that were primarily used by non-Black women?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Yeah. And it's like, you know, how many other products do Black women primarily wear that are not addressed? And is it not being addressed because we're the only ones wearing them? Are there not enough advocates in the beauty or even the sustainability space to say there's a connection here and it's not a good one? Like, yeah. Why is that not happening? So I'm sure that there is some social components to it, or even just the way that the industry is structured. We have no ownership in the supply chain, no ownership in the distribution. So how can you even get those answers if we're not even stakeholders in any of the process?
Where can people find Rebundle on social media if they want to check it out?
Yeah, so on Instagram, we're at rebundle.co. On Twitter, we're at rebundle.co. And we do have a Pinterest and a YouTube, all with the same handles.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. I want to know what trends you have questions about. So hit me up on Instagram. I'm at Mara S. Campo. You can also check out The Trend Reporter on YouTube, covering all of the newest trends, including tutorials on everything from food to beauty. That's youtube.com/Mara S. Campo. The Trend Reporter is a production of iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.